Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet. Fan brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. Not that much to get fired up about. Definitely have to take an espresso shot before this game as the Raptors took on the Orlando Magic for a little home and home series, and the Raptors lost both ends. They lost on Friday 113 to 103 at Scotiabank, and then this time they go out to Orlando and they lose 111 to 96 against the very same Orlando Magic team who were very healthy and once again pressed many of their same advantages defensively. The Magic are just very, very tough to get past. They had size advantages across the board. I appreciated Savannah's, I wouldn't even say honesty. I mean, she's always honest. It's just how blunt it was when she was presenting the pregame report that she was relaying from Kelly Olynyk. And she was saying how Kelly conceded the fact that Orlando has a size advantage pretty much across the board. And yeah, that's what happened in these last two games here, where the Raptors just were not able to contain the Magic, on kind of both ends, really. Like, it wasn't really a blowout because the Magic don't have that type of offensive scoring punch to just blow opponents open if they get into trouble in the playoffs, which they will be at least going to the playoffs. So that's a huge step forward for this team who have hit 40 wins now against 28 losses. So that's already a really big achievement for this young Magic team. But where they're going to struggle is offensively, because outside of Paolo Banchero, and to some extent Franz Wagner, had a decent game tonight, just like he had a decent game on Wednesday as well. But I do feel like offensively this team might struggle to find enough efficient half-court scoring. But then again, defensively, this team really gets after. That's why it's so impressive watching this team, because they are young, and yes, they have the personnel to sort of play in a defensive style, and of course that, like, that is a big thing, but also at the same time, there's this want to from this group that they're young, but they hold each other accountable. Some of their young players take the lead defensively, like Jalen Suggs, really, like, even though he committed two fouls early in the game, just like pressing up on guys, like, you know, he had quickly just like flipping and turning his head like 2-3 times, trying to just like bring the ball past half, and he barely did it by throwing it ahead to Kelly, who bailed him out of half court. Like, things like that. I mean, that whole young team, they really, really embrace what they do defensively, and that's how they got to this spot. So I'm hoping that eventually the Raptors take after a similar path. Now, of course, personnel-wise, especially with the Raptors banged up and injured right now, you're not going to see anything close to that. It's not even really possible. And to some extent, I feel like the Raptors did climb and fight against Orlando. Like, it was actually quite similar to the two games. You know, the first one, the Raptors had to call timeout after about 2 minutes because of the fact that, they just, came out slow with their starters, and the Raptors had to call timeout. And actually, it was towards the end of the first quarter where some of their bench players on the court that the Raptors actually got into it. That was Friday. Same kind of deal here. The Raptors had to call the first timeout. I feel like this is a, I don't know, this is a running trend that's happened kind of all season, regardless of who's in the group, but it just doesn't seem like this team is like sharp and ready to play to start. I feel like they take some time. Almost, it feels like they got to get slapped in the face a little bit. Their opponents got to see, okay, you know what, this is going to be a walk in the park. And then it starts to get more serious and the Raptors climb back in. But Raptors, once again, have to take the first time out, 11-4 after about 3 minutes. It felt like they were very much overwhelmed on both ends, and they were giving up so many looks at the rim. Wendell Carter going to the basket, Banchero going to the basket, Franz went to the basket twice before the Raptors had to call their first timeout. And yeah, I mean, things, again, to watch for in these kind of games is just how do the Raptors react in certain moments. And I think that for Emmanuel Quickley, there's been a lot watching for him. And the last two games here against the Magic, he hasn't really been able to get his game off. We've seen Quickley get into a string of 20-point games. We've seen him look comfortable, look aggressive, slashing, really leading the team. A lot of assists, but most importantly, the scoring to go along with it and creating a lot of advantages. The last two games against the Magic, Quickley on Friday had 10 points on 4 of 9 shooting, 0 of 3 from 3, no free throws. 3 of 9 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, 3 of 6 from the foul line, 3 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals. So that was the game against Friday. And then this game on the rematch, you know, maybe make a couple adjustments, maybe again, whatever. But the Magic hold him this time to 12 points on 4 of 15 shooting, 0 of 6 from 3, 4 of 5 from the foul line, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, against four turnovers. So I think on both nights, the Magic did a really good job executing. Of course, the Magic have good perimeter defenders, right? Jalen Suggs really gets after it. And again, he made his life absolutely hell for quickly in some of those defensive matchups. But also, the Magic did a great job of showing blitzes, forcing quickly into, you know, making some different passes outside of those double teams. And he wasn't really able to create those advantages for his teammates with the right passes out or timing those right passes. And honestly, even if he did pass it at the right time, his teammates weren't exactly capitalizing on those either. Nevertheless, like, that's the challenge, right? Like, you don't obviously, most games, when healthy, the Raptors aren't going to play through quickly that much. You know, it'll also come down to Scotty. It'll also come down to RJ. You know, like other players, Jakob would be a nice hub. And honestly, just a nice matchup for Orlando in general with his size. But still, you didn't see that sort of like step up in level that you had seen from quickly when they played Phoenix, when they had played Portland, when they had played these other teams. Now, of course, granted, those teams aren't nearly as defensively sound as Orlando is, but nevertheless, you would have liked to have seen that improvement. And I do feel like, you know, against physicality, against these teams with size, is there some sort of adjustment from quickly? You know what I mean? Like, you know, it was actually quite a stark contrast because right before this game, the Raptors started at 6 p.m. On Sunday. The other game that was on, the national TV game, was Mavericks versus the Denver Nuggets. And the Mavs had a big lead. The Nuggets, as they always do in the crunch time, they made a huge, huge comeback, made a huge three by Jamal Murray to take them up three. And then, of course, the Luka hit a big three immediately to tie. Jamal missed a pull-up mid-range. It was pretty open, but he left enough time. And on the ensuing inbound, after the timeout, they had like 2.5 seconds, something like that, and they inbounded to Kyrie, and I'm pretty sure people have seen this shot. If you haven't seen this shot, you got to go look for this shot. This is one of the best game winners I've ever seen. But Kyrie, you know, gets open-ish against Jokic, who obviously is big, you know, seven-footer. Yeah, again, he's not blocking a shot that often, but he's definitely contesting your shot, and you still had to shoot over top of a seven-footer. Kyrie dribbles towards his left, gets around the free throw line area, and he can't actually get the shot off with his right because, again, he's gone up against a seven-footer. So he uses his left hand to improvise and throw up a jump hook with the left hand with the buzzer fading, and he swishes that shot, and that ends up being the game winner. Now, first off, just an incredible shot. But I think my point with that is, like, you want to see some sort of adjustments, right? Like, I'm not expecting Kyrie-level adjustments. He's genuinely one of the most skilled players, you know, in NBA history. In terms of craftiness and all that kind of stuff, he honestly might be top five for me. But, like, ultimately, you would like to see some level of craft, right? And when you see, for example, like, you go in terms of the contrast, you go to this game, a lot of times quickly had to drive and attack against, like, mismatches, or he had to rush the basket and things like that, and just didn't have that level of, like, creativity on the finishes. Maybe the quickness on the finishes, but generally speaking, it was, you know, go in as quickly as possible and go in for the right-handed layup. You know, essentially just kind of rushing and putting on the glass and hopefully that the shot blocker can't get to it. A couple times he was swatted, a couple times he did get there, but, you know, he went with so much speed and so much anxiety on that layup that, you know, it kind of came off hard off the glass and it didn't, you know, drop in. A couple other times, you know, he was trying to use the floater and the bank shot, and, you know, I would say the accuracy on today was just not really there on a consistent basis. In any case, I feel like Orlando was very comfortable giving those type of shots up. And then, of course, you mix in the fact that, you know, the threes weren't hitting at that kind of rate. I mean, eventually it felt like Orlando didn't even need to send so much defensive attention towards him. But nevertheless, you know, these are the difficult challenges. And you're going to see him have challenges, you know, trying to finish over top of length. That's going to require more craft. That's going to require more, you know, again, like, you even take it away from Jamal or Kyrie, for example. There's a play down the fourth quarter where Jamal had to drive and, you know, driving towards his left, and there was a help defender, and his defender was a big guy on him. And he ultimately went with the shot, which he threw up a lefty running hook, kind of banking off the glass, just over the top of his own defender and on top of the shot blocker as well, and finished from those odd angles. Like, those are the type of levels of craft that you're going to need to consistently sort of create advantages as a smaller player, because you're obviously going to have mismatches. On top of that, I think that, you know, for him, I think there's a physicality element, and that's why I've been so interested to see how he would do against a guy like Suggs, who is one of the most, you know, physical on-ball defenders in the association. And, you know, a lot of times it felt like quickly had to turn his back or couldn't really get to his spots, or, you know, even going through on cuts and stuff like that, getting bumped and things like this. It just felt like, again, without his level of effectiveness in the offense, you just didn't think that the Raptors will generate enough from everyone else. And everyone else played, roughly speaking, the same game. Like, okay, so Gary obviously had a really hot night in the first one, going for 31. This one, he wasn't going to be scoring 31, especially with a team like Orlando that gets a chance to see you for the second time, maybe make a couple more adjustments. I think for me, just Gary just didn't get as many shots. When he did get his shots, I think he was generally pretty effective still and was actually able to draw some double teams, and that led to him setting up some of his bigs for catch-and-shoot threes. Fortunately, the guys couldn't really knock those down outside of one for Kelly. Jonte missed one, and I think some other ones missed. But generally speaking, I think Gary, you know, was good. But again, the Nets or the Magic did a much better job of limiting his touches, and so he wasn't as able to sort of pop off the way he was. You know, I did like that Gary was competitive. Seemed like him and, you know, Franz were kind of going back and forth a little bit, just like, you know, verbally, but also just like on the court as well. And, you know, that's fun. I mean, look, Franz obviously is a better player and a more highly touted player, but, you know, I think for Franz, like, what he really saw here today was, once again, his comfort and his ability to get downhill against the Raptors team and then knowing how to finish. And, yeah, I mean, he used his size well. There is a shooting component to his game, but he didn't even need that today. Mostly he was just looking to slash, and he did a great job of converting on that front. I think the other person I was really interested in watching these last two matchups was just how Ochai Agbaji would do, especially defensively. Like, offensively, you can, like, you know, again, offensively, he's underwhelming, right? Like, there's obviously things that he's going to need to improve. In terms of, you know, the knowing what to do in each scenario, that's, again, like, going back to that previous game winner by Kyrie, it's like, it's not just that he made a lucky shot out of nowhere. Of course, there's an element of luck to it, but there's such a high degree of skill to it because it's not like he just threw up any sort of random prayer and it went in. It seemed like he actually, A, rehearsed that shot, but also, B, understood immediately in real time what finish to use and go to. I think knowing what to do is such a big part of being efficient, is such a big part of getting a shot off and being effective. And I think that there's moments where when you see Ochai get the ball in certain spots, he doesn't necessarily even know what to do in terms of how to get to a shot from that spot. When there's like really scripted things like catch and shoot in the corner or on a cut, you know, and those things are generally speaking better for him. But you end up seeing some things that are like, okay, you know, just a bit of like almost inexperience at certain points in the offense. Like, you saw that a lot in the first quarter where, you know, he hesitated on a catch and shoot corner three and had sidestepped a little bit deeper into the lane and ended up missing the three. I mean, you could just catch and shoot on those. Or, you know, he had one where he caught the ball on a cut and ended up traveling because he didn't necessarily have the immediate, like, point blank finish or like the very, very obvious finish. You know, when he has to sort of think things through a little bit, that's where you see the hesitations come in, and that's leading to, you know, moments where he's not taking the right shot or he's taking, you know, he's rushing the shot or whatever. He doesn't have that. But defensively, that's what you would want to see is like, okay, how can he guard against some of these guys? Now, I think that actually the first game, the Raptors did a good job against Banchero. 17 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 of 15 shooting. That was on Friday. This game, Banchero took it down a level. I mean, 29 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block. I think, number one, you saw less of Banchero trying to post up. I mean, I think Ochai, despite being shorter than Banchero and only about 6'4", but I think, you know, Ochai has actually done a pretty good job with at least guarding in the post and being strong and, you know, using his length to sort of close down and just, you know, again, be effective defensively. But, you know, what you saw here against Paolo is not only did Paolo did a really good job of not forcing a shot out of the post, but he did a really good job of throwing skip passes. And I think that's, watching the last two games here, Paolo's, you know, a really, really good passer for somebody who is 6'9", kind of has like a walking mismatch type of build, you know, is a good shooter. I wouldn't say he's an elite shooter, but at the same time, you know, like, he's not exactly getting open looks most of the time. But yeah, I mean, you know, that's the type of player that can shoot quite a bit if he really wants to, but he passes a lot, especially even on a night where the Magic weren't that hot as a team. He was still spraying passes out, you know, throwing skip passes across the board. He even had a play at the end of the third quarter where, you know, he hit a pull-up three on the first play. And then the next play down, he made sure to attack or get the switch onto Grady. He took his time, you know, made sure to attack Grady, anticipated the fact that, okay, the Raptors aren't just going to let him attack Grady. They're going to have a double team. And the way the floor was spaced, the double was only going to come out of the strong side corner. And once that corner double came, he immediately flipped it to Joe Ingles with just enough time to hit a wide open catch and shoot corner three right as the buzzer sounded. And just little things like that that the Magic did a really good job of closing out certain moments a little bit better. Like they closed out the second quarter a lot better because the Raptors actually were very competitive in the first half. Were right there with them, one or two possessions down. Eventually, they actually tied it as well. And it was going to be a tie game heading into the second half, except for the fact that the Raptors gave up a 5-0 run in the last, like, 30 seconds or so. And one of that was Ben Carroll with a really impressive score. And then another one was just, like, setting up a three. And things like that where it's just, like, Raptors could have easily gone into that half tied, feel pretty good about themselves. Instead, Orlando came out with a lead. And once again, you see the starting lineup continue to not play well. I mean, the starting lineup has not played well basically against, any team in the past week or so. Like, constantly the Raptors are off to bad starts, and constantly the Raptors have to call the first timeout, and you see the Raptors get back into games when they go to their bench, which is kind of interesting to me. But in any case, some of the reasons why the Raptors starting group is struggling is, I think number one, you're seeing that it's not a coincidence that Grady was a minus 27 today, and the last game that Grady was a minus 32. I know Darko was asked about it at practice, and he kind of dismissed the stat as sort of plus minus being very noisy. Of course, I think it absolutely is very noisy. I'm not going to make too many decisions or even judgments off that. But I think what that's a sign of is that you're seeing Grady play a lot more with the starters, and you're seeing Grady going up against tougher defenders too, and also have a different role offensively. And I think it's all leading to sort of more inconsistency as compared to what we saw, for the last like month, maybe even month and a half, 6 weeks that, Grady has been really building in confidence. Something that actually Darko talked about at Saturday's practice where, he explained to Savannah Hamilton actually that, for what Grady's doing, a lot of the year he's been training to play out of the corner, and now he's actually running a lot more actions to the top of the floor, and he's adjusting to that. Which, for Grady, it might look like he's in the exact same role, but he's playing against different units and he's playing on different spots on the floor. And you're starting to see once again that he's trying to figure some things out. He still got into good positions to drive or attack closeouts or, maybe even cut and try to finish. But ultimately, you're starting to see this guy before getting out there a little bit more and more. And you're seeing Grady he can't always get to a three every time he wants to. He's not like he's just jacking up bad threes. He's still not really doing that, which is good. Actually, that's a good thing. But when he gets to the basket, he is trying these acrobatic finishes. A lot of times he was trying to jump over length or stretch around the defender or just in general change his shot to try to get it over top of these more physical and these longer defenders. And, first off, the small pockets of windows where he can finish, those are getting smaller and smaller. But the other thing, too, is just that, a lot of these finishes, he is up trying to jump and absorb the contact and then sort of, finesse something around it. That's not very easy to do. And we've seen Grady actually finish a couple of decent looks. He's got some finesse with it. But at the same time, these are the adjustments. And I think that this is also the marginal differences between playing against starters versus playing against second units. I think, for example, second unit, if he played against second unit tonight, he would have played against, Fultz guarding him or Cole Anthony guarding him. Now he's playing as a starting unit. Like, last game, he had Suggs guarding him a lot. This game, he's got even Harris, who is a decent defender, or him trying to finish over top of these bigger wings or, more athletic players like Wendell Carter rather than even, Mo Wagner, for example. So, there is more of an adjustment. I think defensively, that's where you would like to see, okay, where is the physicality going to come from? Yes, you're struggling to score. A lot of the team is struggling to score. You might want to get out in transition, but can we get back to secure the defensive glass? Can we make sure that we contest? Can we, try to guard without fouling? And that's where for the Raptors, the starting group, just rebounding was a real issue for them. It felt like everything was difficult on that front. So in any case, lots of things to improve and try to get better at. On the flip side, I thought the second unit came in and gave them a really nice lift at multiple points. Bruce Brown continues to just look more settled. I mean, he still has a couple moments where he'll fumble a pass or, be a little bit indecisive on offense and end up taking the wrong decision or sort of almost a forced decision. But generally speaking, he's been okay on that front. And he's been more steady. Nothing to complain about here. 12 points, 4 assists, 3 of 6 from the field, 6 of 6 from the foul line. Like, that's the efficiency I kind of expect from him. And he's obviously doing a lot more backup point guard duty now that the Raptors are where they are in the lineup. Wara, I thought Jordan Wara is a perplexing player because a lot of times you look at him, you're like, okay, he's kind of looks a little sheepish out there, a little slow in terms of just he's not moving around or he's not like a hyperactive player. And offensively, you know, he's kind of disjointed sometimes comes in and out. But then he also has these moments where, you know, at the end of the third quarter, it was really just a Jordan Wara show. And it wasn't like he was forcing a shot that much, but you saw him come out with a tough mid-range pull-up. This is while the Raptors starters really struggled, and Wara actually got a longer run. Grady got the quick hook in the third quarter by Darko, and he brought in Wara. Wara hit a tough mid-range pull-up. Honestly, could have been an and-one, too. Looked like some contact. But nevertheless, like, that actually broke a streak of just ice-cold shooting for the Raptors. Then you saw him come out with an and-one, driving and-one out of a timeout. One of the few times the Raptors called timeout and didn't just immediately turn the ball over with some bad decision or just poor execution. You actually saw him score an and-one. Then you saw him hit a runner on the baseline. Then you saw him slash a finishing with a scoop layup in traffic. And then you saw him, you know, pop behind a little screen for a catch and shoot three on the wing. So you see the variety and the fact that, yes, there's clearly a guy who can score here. There's clearly a guy who has some offensive talent. But where is that consistency going to come from? How effective is he going to be off ball? And how do you get the most out of this? Because, you know, that's something that I would love to see for him, not just with the Raptors, but even just long term, like what he's going to be in this league. Like, these are the things that whether Coach Darko helps him unlock or whatever, but you got like 20, you got like, you know, how many more games? Like 15 some more games, something like that. Like, you still have a month left in the season. You know, work on some of those things and try to find some consistency, because it's not like there's no ability. And, you know, when you compare him to Agbaji, for example, like, there's a lot of times where I feel like, okay, Agbaji doesn't know what shot to go to here, and that's why he's really ineffective offensively. Not just the conversion, but the finishing and the understanding of how to get to a finish. I feel like Jordan actually does have that, but at the same time, he struggles with some of the other elements too. But nevertheless, I thought Jordan gave them something good. And then, you know, even Ramsey, Jermias Ramsey, who continues to get a longer look here ahead of Javon Freeman Liberty. Seems like the Raptors definitely want to at least take turns, maybe even just to give these guys certain looks. Honestly, between the two right now, I think I'm slightly leaning towards Jermias. I know he doesn't have the same body of work or the same contract, or, you know, we haven't had to see him like in the program. I mean, I know that Javon has been working in the G League and was playing with them in summer league. So he's been in the Toronto program since last July. But I feel like with Ramsey, what you're seeing is he's bringing some physicality and definitely some want to defensively. The bigger, I wouldn't even say bigger, he's just a stronger body with long arms. So he can slide, he can be quick, and he can move, but also at the same time, he also can, jump up there, contest some shots, maybe even like rebound a little bit. I think, you know, he's taking on these challenges, he's embracing those, he's causing a couple deflections, he had a steal to drive in for a dunk, not windmill this time, but, you know, still, you know, a nice reward off his defense. And the make or break skill for him, it just seems to be 3-point shooting. I mean, he's left quite open most of the time. I'm sure there's not that big of a scouting report, but he doesn't look that sure when he's shooting that's not true. He is shooting these threes without hesitation, but at the same time, he's not converting them even when he does get room to fire. It's the leftiness. It seems like the shot is often a little bit erratic. It kind of takes like a weird path. But nevertheless, like, I like the fact that he's actually defense first. And I do find the fact that, you know, for a guy with his physicality and his athleticism, you know, there could be a fit for him on Toronto, where, you know, the Raptors clearly have issues defensively and are quite small across the board. Now, of course, they also have issues shooting the three a lot of times. Like tonight, they were 8 of 31 for 36%. But still, I think that at least Jermias has offered me one clear-cut skill that I don't know if I'm always seeing from Javon at the moment. But hey, this also could just be that Jermias it's his turn rather than it's Javon's turn. Other than that, Jonte, you know, I thought he was less effective in this one. I think the Magic did a great job of like cutting off the Raptors, just backdoor plays, all those cuts and things like that. That's basically the lifeblood of Raptors offense right now. And the Magic, especially after seeing them for the first time on Friday in this group, the rematch, they definitely took away a lot more of those cuts. And you saw a lot of moments where the Raptors were forcing cuts that weren't there or showing frustration in their teammates, telling them to cut when they're not cutting. You know, it happens. This is where the Raptors are right now. They're in a tough spot. And, you know, you're going to continue to see results like this. But hopefully, at least in the margins, you'll see some growth and improvement from the young guys, and that's, for me at least, why I'm continuing to watch. Anyway, before I wrap up, your three stars from this game, a message from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Chicken Noodle Soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles, all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new Chunky Spicy Chicken Noodle Soup. Okay, your three stars from this performance. Considering the Raptors' leading scorer with Jordan Warr at 18. Yeah, Jordan might get the first star for me. 18 points, 7 rebounds, and assists. A block. I just think that, yeah, this is a big opportunity for him, and I know that there's ability in there. Like, it doesn't feel like a fluke when he has this type of scoring. So I think for him, it's just, can you find that consistency? And, you know, obviously he needs to improve defensively too, but there's a good player there, and, you know, this is probably one of the few chances in his career where he's going to get this many minutes and this much run to try it out. So happy for Jordan. Hopefully we see it more often. Your second star, honestly, I'll give it to Gary. 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block for Gary. That's rare. 6 of 12 from the field, knocked down some mid-range pull-ups, created a little bit of his own offense. I like the spikiness of him going back and forth with a guy like Franz. Honestly, Gary would actually do really well in Orlando. I feel like his fit in Orlando would actually be quite nice. But I don't know. In any case, Gary played well, and he had some moments, and I like that he finished a transition layup, even through contact, and won. We've seen him, you know, squander some of those. So, you know, again, we're looking for marginal improvements. And your third star, I probably will go. You know what? I'll go with Ramsey. I'll go with Ramsey. I liked his defense tonight. Not a big stat line, but I'm not expecting him to take a bunch of shots. But yeah, Jamias Ramsey, you're gonna get the third star. Your Gerald Henderson Award winner for who on the Magic really impressed? I think for me, Mo Wagner really made a big impact in this game. Like, for a while in the second quarter, it was just him and Franz playing two-man game, and their brothers were just, like, crushing the Raptors. And nothing, like, particularly impressive, I would say. He seems like an agitator as well, talks a lot to the referees, will flop, you know, will invite a lot of contact on both ends, all that kind of stuff. But just generally speaking, he seems like a solid player. We'll give it to Mo for the game. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Please continue to rate, review, subscribe to The Raptor Show. Great news, Blake Murphy will be back on Monday, so tune in to that. We will obviously continue to try to get you the very best guests who will say yes to doing Raptors content these days. And otherwise, you know, we will be doing our best to wrap out the rest of the season. But you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. Good night.